With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Blood and Mud, the podcast that always knew England had it in them. Always knew it had, that they had it in them. Journey Reckon, yeah.
I mean, we have sort of said quite a lot over the last. I think we're probably quite unique in the podcast in not sort of massively slating England after that Scotland game. You know,
did we not?
No, well, I think we said that they were shit, but we said that they weren't as
in a kind way, in a constructive way. Yeah.
Well, we sort of were like, you know, they weren't as bad as everybody saying was making out that they were. They just got beaten by a better team on the day.
And they were doing, I think I said they were doing the right things, but I don't think necessarily means they're going to win the Six Nations. More on that later.
Exactly. And I think we probably did say, and I vividly remember this, basically saying, like, they could beat Ireland in a one-off game. They could probably beat anybody, but they're like, this team's like threshold is probably not winning the Six Nations every year, or indeed next year. And I stand by that. At least we're not fucking Clive Woodward, though, who literally took fucking credit for the win by claiming that the players must have read his column the week before. They did exactly what I told them they needed to do.
I honestly think that they read my column.
Sacred tenet that Borthwick's players had read my pre-match column because they were so quickly out of the box. As if you have to be a World Cup winning fucking coach to go, it's probably good to score a try after 3 minutes, lads. And also, every time England have beaten Ireland in the last 10 years, it's because they've come flying out of the blocks and fucking blown away in the first 20 minutes.
Well, my whole preamble on The Guardian was that, do you remember 2019? When everyone was like, said the last knockings of the last great Joe Schmidt team, I guess.
Yes.
England were rocking up, then they fucking obliterated Ireland in the first 10 minutes. There was no coming back. And I was like, that's never happened again. You know, such romantic notions are not for this Ireland team. You know, this Ireland team kills romance. That's what it does. Well, and there you go. But anyway, we'll do more of that later on. But yeah.
But I would like to point out that the title of Sir Clive's column last week was England's stupid mindset says they're living in dreamland. Oh, yeah, you were really fucking backing them for the win, weren't you? Absolute fucking penis of a man. Oh. Anyway.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, you. Yeah.
Full of the joys of spring. That's
brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll get onto this later, but what a weekend of rugby, by the way, as the Six Nations goes, and how finely poised is it now going into the superific Saturday?
I mean, the fact that we're, you know, Ireland's still going to win the Six Nations, but like the fact that four teams could win it is very, this is exciting. You know, it has Super Saturday potential, even if it likely won't transpire that way.
I think, was it Farrell's interview afterwards, where he said, or is it Omani's interview, where he just went and said a little like, yeah, credit to blah. I mean, obviously, we've just got to focus on in the championship now. Like, this like dig at the end is like, we're still going to win this championship, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, this is...
Believe me when I say that we are winning this fucking championship now. as a shitty fucking consolation prize for what should have been the first team in the Six Nations era to win a fucking back-to-back Grand Slams. And... they fucked it, which, you know, I mean, it is funny. Sorry, Ireland fans, but it is.
But we're going to talk about this more later on. Cool your jets. You know, this is ridiculous going straight into talking about a weekend. What will people think?
Yeah.
So have you been all right then? I mean, obviously, I've had a couple of weeks an ongoing sort of series called How's My Luck? And it's not good.
Yeah.
So here's a three. You know, they say it's coming threes. I've had death.
Yeah.
Collarbone. Mum's collarbone.
Oh, yeah.
And now car.
Oh.
Car has died a death. The annoying thing is it hasn't died a death. It's still running perfectly fine.
But it's failed its MOT to the point where it's no longer economical to repair it.
I went in. I said, the engine light's on. Right. I said, look, the front suspension needs doing. It's 10 years old. £300. I thought I'll swallow that. I'm just going to do a scan of the engine light. I thought that'd be fine. That'd be some bollocks.
Yeah.
Turns it on. We've had this error report. What is that? What does that even mean? EGR sensor something.
No, that doesn't sound good.
I was like, oh, so what's that then? They're saying to repair this, you've got to replace the EGR valve. I was like, right. I mean, a valve, that sounds like a fucking washer or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've replaced a valve in my Fender Blues Junior. That's not a big job.
Yeah.
You know?
In and out, you know.
£1,200.
Jesus.
£1,200 plus the suspension plus a load of other advisories. So I was like, you know what? Fuck F this. I'm just, you know, I'm torn down to get a new car anyway, so it's going. So car's probably worth about three and a half grand, right? £2,000 worth of work probably needed on it the next whatever. I thought, sod this, I'm going to wee buy any car.
Yeah.
Told them, engine management light's on. Fine. I thought, well, they're going to scan this, find out what it is, and tell me they'll give me £3.
Yeah.
No, turns up. You know the engine management light's on? I said, yeah, I said that when I got my price. All right, okay, that's fine then. Didn't plug anything in, nothing.
Wow.
Short version. Short version, they give me £2,000.
Fair play.
And I was like, I mean, obviously, it's cheaper for them to repair it than the garage quoted me, probably, but even so.
And I genuinely think that the only thing that We Buy Any Car actually cares about is cosmetic shit. Because my Focus runs like an absolute Swiss watch and has never had a problem with it in Italy. It's had new tires, a couple of track rod end changes. It's had done 100,000 miles. It's lovely, beautiful, you know, lovely, comfortable.
Great. I remember I've been in that car. 10 years,
I've been 10 years old. It's a perfectly functioning. It is a bin though, like for reasons that I don't entirely know why. There's various bits where the paintwork is corroded, and because it's been fucking tagged up and down many, many motorways. There's quite a few paint chips on the bonnet and things like that. And
grade five. I tried
to get them to. We Buy Any Car to fucking buy it, and they were just like, no. They wouldn't even give me fucking
£20. I thought they said they would buy any car.
They will not buy my car.
They're lying. That Schofield again. That Schofield is a lying bastard. Honestly, he's all over the telly saying he'll buy any car. He's pretending to be mates with Holly Willoughby and not a pervert. And in all the time,
he's saying that he hasn't.
He was lying through his black bloody teeth.
Oh, but yeah, so I just kept it, and to be honest with you, I'm glad I did, because we were gonna stay on one car, and there's no way we could have ever done the first 2 years of having a child with one car. No. It would have been entirely stupid.
No, so but I mean, obviously they're doing great guns, because they've opened the office of We Buy Any Car in Flint. Those of you who are local, and hopefully people local listening are, is a porter cabin in the car park of Flint Retail Park.
They've got a.
You make an appointment. And you're like, yeah, there's nobody here. You turn up and then this like woman appears in a car. How are you doing? All right. I was like, I said, you sitting here all day? I said, oh no, I nip back home and stuff if I need the toilet and that. And just wait until there's any. I was like, great, this is ace.
They got one of them in the fucking top deck of the car park in the big Asda by me.
Amazing.
And I'm like, and I was wondering the same thing. I was like, is some poor fucker just sitting in that porter cabin all day?
Probably nipping home just when they get away and that.
To go into Asda for a WAS.
But yeah, they just do a bit of scanning. Of course, like they quoted me 2,300, haven't they? Then they get, it's grade four and scanning, whatever. Fuck off. I said, can you give me this for it? And it's that, you know, the sales stuff. Well, the thing is, right, it did actually say it should be £200 less than what I've just told you, but I've taken that out of my commission. I don't have to do that, you know, see? And I was just like, you know, I'm already
fuck
bored.
So, yeah.
Kerry says, same setup at Broughton Park. Local knowledge, if you know Broughton Park as well. But obviously, they've got loads of people wanting to flog cars, haven't they? Because it is, price be damned. It's just the aggregate. It is. I'll tell you something. I sold it in 20 minutes. I'm telling you, it is remarkable.
And genuinely, it took me, when I was trying to part X the Focus for, because the reason they were selling it to BYD car was that they offered me such an insultingly low amount of money for it in part X. I was like, I'm better off selling this privately to fucking We Buy Any Car. Turns out I wasn't, but I was better off keeping it. But the guy at the fucking...
Whatever gets you there in the end.
Yeah. The guy that was at the fucking car dealer that I was going to part exit in, it was like, he literally spent about 35 minutes going around the car, inside and out, and then offered me 750 quid for it. And I was like... You've wasted 45 minutes of my time there.
What have you fucking written on that pad, pal? Yeah. You've been walking around.
He's like, oh yeah, all four alloys will need reconditioning. It's like, you're not going to do that. You're just going to clean them.
I do like the fact that the word pal is only ever used when you're not being somebody's pal. Well, hang on, pal.
That is extremely true, actually. I've never said pal to someone I like.
Anyway, enough car chat. But there you go. So car busted. I bought a new car. That's all you need to know. So I'm Lee. Hello. Nice to see you all. And over there is
I'm Josh. You probably knew that already.
A big wavy hello to those of you on the live stream. We are both bearded now. I didn't notice this last week. I said to Josh, bearded. He said he had one last week.
Weirdly, everyone's noticed it today. Like, today is obviously like the tipping point where it's gone from appearing on Zoom as if I've just not shaved it recently to, oh, this is actually something you're doing on purpose now. So yeah, I've had like three or four people say to me, are you growing a beard? And I was like, yeah. I had it yesterday as well.
Yeah, I'm not Georgian. I didn't grow it this morning.
Yeah, exactly. This is like a couple of weeks' work.
You saying tipping point there made me think of programs I don't understand are still on the telly. Like Tipping Point's one of them.
And see, I've got a soft spot for
tipping. I know we've had this conversation before, but I was covering the rugby on Saturday.
Well, I agree. Yeah.
And I'm still typing away as we get to the end of England Ireland. Mm-hmm. And then the England Ireland TV show finishes. And what comes on straight after it?
Yeah.
Ant and Dec Saturday Night Takeaway, which is in its 20th season.
A remarkable thing.
And you look at it and you're like, I've got nothing. Ant and Dec, it's hard to dislike them, isn't it? I don't know anybody who does dislike
absolutely,
them.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, they so have
and
a,
I recognise, I know why they're popular.
Grip on
I know why they're popular.
On ITV that I cannot help but respect. Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know who is watching this in, it's live as it goes. Who's watching this in real time anymore? It's somebody is obviously they commissioned it, but it absolutely baffles it. And again, that usual thing they do, they I can't remember what it was, but they made a really fucking cheesy joke at the beginning that was fucking terrible. And I still found myself slightly chuckling because they just have this way, don't they?
I think because they, when they make a shit joke, it's a shit joke with
it. Because they know it's shit, don't they? That's this kind of it's a strange one anyway. A bit like us.
But it's
a lot less money.
A couple of years ago, I was like, I'm going to sit down and watch this because I was just like, this has been on for years now. This like there must be a reason people watch this, and I sort of came away with the same thing as you. I was just like, that is like it's not even like the Generation Game level or like Noel's House Party level. It's just like I don't understand. Like, it's a lot of really bad skits with incredibly famous people on there because obviously the Saturday night fucking ITV audience is massive enough that people want to do promo shit on there.
And then they put those cameras in people's living rooms, don't they, and go direct to the living room. I mean, seriously, how many times did they catch people wanking doing that? At the time. I mean, during the rest of the week.
That thing is obviously fake because and they, the people know that they're being filmed because, like, A, they couldn't not do that, and B, you would catch some bloke and his wife's gone out to fucking get the takeaway and he's taking advantage to fucking crack one off on his phone.
Or some fella's chopping a line out on his coffee table. Whoa, what, eh?
He's about to head out for the night. He's alive enough.
I'm just double dropping a couple of pills as it goes live to the anyway.
But as you say, they've just got a nice way about them and they're very watchable. Got to give it to him.
So much money. Good for them.
Ben Shepherd, though, not watchable. Like,
is he the tipping point, man?
Yeah, I enjoy...
Stephen Mulhern, he's baffling as well.
He's weird. Stephen Mulhern is weird in that he's carved out a career as being like sort of Anton Deck's weird little familiar. You know, like...
Yeah, but with like an old man's kite face.
A guy you don't want to look at... who is extremely unfunny.
Looks like his own spitting image puppet.
Yeah, but he's carved out a niche as being like this sort of weird, like, butt of jokes for Anton Deck and has turned that into, like, hosting catchphrase for some reason. Also... Like
that met Ricky Gervais. His entire shtick was just because Ricky Gervais took the piss out of him, that Kevin... What's his name?
Carl Pilkington.
Carl, there you go, yeah.
Don't hear much from him anymore, do you?
No.
After that... kind of ableist.
I don't know. I wasn't a fan anyway, but it was just bizarre. Yeah. anyway, where were we?
Derek.
Hello.
It's called. Yeah.
Lee Josh. Aya. Hello on the live stream.
Hello. Hello.
Josh has got a beard. That's where that started.
I've got a beard. You could be seeing it too if you were a patron. Yeah.
If you want to get in touch with us, I'm on at Blood and Mud on the Twitter, Lee at bloodandmud.com on the email either. What about you, Josh?
At Josh Gardner on I came back to Twitter this weekend because I just got bored, man. Like, no, but there's nobody on Blue Sky. I'll admit it.
I've given up. No,
my hoped for sort of migration to Blue Sky has just not happened, and I'm just really bored of just tweeting into the posting stuff and literally just not even one person liking it or even reading it. Like, I'm all for shouting into the void, but ultimately...
But not really, when it comes down to...
Yeah, I don't really want to shout into the void. If I have an opinion on something, I do actually want somebody to fucking read it, even if they call me a cunt, which, to be fair, my first weekend back on Twitter, there was a fair bit of that. But, you know...
I did see the tweet you chose to come back with, that very long and complex thing with a bloke peeping around the wall. That's just asking for it.
It really was, but I enjoyed how long that took me to get to do versus how long how few people liked it.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. So, and I get it. It was annoying.
Yeah, that's why you did it. It's like people still don't quite grasp it, do they?
Yeah.
Right. So we're on the Sports Social Network. We are on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts from. But most importantly, we're on patreon.com and in the bar and a piano man's found another slash for my heart. Blood and Mud, where you can come along and get all extra stuff and all that.
All the extra stuff.
No, by now. Don't know why you're not bothering, but patreon.com, Blood and Mud. The guitar solo with Another Nail for My Heart by Squeeze is probably, or right up there, with probably the most perfect guitar solo ever written and played.
Fact.
The fact it makes no sense that after the first chorus it just comes in instead of having a second verse. Everything about it is just perfect, right? So just, if you're not familiar with it, go and listen to it.
I'll allow it.
And then try to play it. Because it's deceptively fucking unbelievably hard. So,
always the best slash worst. Yes.
Yes, indeed. Like, why can't I do this? How does he do this while he's pretty much singing?
People who sing, and I can't even Like, my primary expression of guitar at the moment is, unsurprisingly, various nursery rhymes.
Yes.
And like, I can barely, like what I've worked out is that pretty much all nursery rhymes can be turned into some variation of A, D, and E. Like,
yeah, nice.
That's basically it. Like,
one, four, five.
Yeah, I found about three nursery rhymes that aren't a 1-4-5 in some shape or form.
Minor keys,
sometimes
minor.
A 1-5-4, sometimes they're a 1-4, they're a 5-4, yeah. One. But they're always, you can find your way through any nursery rhyme with a combination of A major, D, and E major. But singing and playing them at the same time, woof, forget. I'm straight strumming. I'm trying to do a little fun little finger picky thing for Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. Forget about it. No, not happening.
Marcus King, baffling the amount he can do while he's singing. Have you seen Marcus King?
Yeah, hell of a guitar player.
Hell of a guitar player. A slightly preposterous person.
Yeah.
Him and his wife are slightly preposterous people, but yeah. Hell of a guitar player. Hell of a singer.
Unbelievable guitar player. Just a real unique looking fella.
Yes, which the hat just tops it off. Anyway,
it is, but very much him and his wife. With I'm sure that he is a lovely human being. But
it does have a stench of why did you marry the millionaire Paul Daniels? About
it's the most radical sort of contrast, not just in terms of attractiveness, but just in terms of like. Everything about her and everything about him feel like they've literally been put together on Married at First Sight for the express purpose.
Americana, Married at First Sight, Americana version, yeah. Anyway, this is the year of respect for people who come to patreon.com/ blood and mud and pay it over. We're into about September 2019 now, Josh, roughly. So these are people with us since September 2019. And the roll call this week goes like this. Ewan Clark, VIP. John Dixon, VIP. Callum Robertson, Dan Rain, John, VIP. Dan Howells, Charlie, another John. Nicholas Hillen, VIP. Simon Brooker, Vanessa R. Evans, Sean Lonergan, Colin Martin, Elliot Mess, Phil Lewis, friend of the pod and VIP, Jeff Horrell, Miles Burley, Jason Roseweir, great name, Thomas Thronica, VIP, Will Griffiths, Rob Hughes, Howard Tatum, Ian Brown, VIP, not that one, I'm assuming, Charlie Tucknot,
really can you imagine, serious.
Jack Hendry, Owen O'Sullivan, VIP, James Davis, VIP, Con O.C., James Adamson, Richard Laird, VIP, and Del Smock. All of you have been with us for all this time. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Imagine if it is the real Ian Brown and he's working his way through the back catalogue and like he's really hoping that we take a sort of hard fucking 5G turn when COVID happens and when he's just endlessly disappointed and unpatrons.
New people this week. We've had a new VIP in the last week, believe it or not. They've actually upped their thing from £20 a year to the VIP at £50 a year. So, you know, much respect goes out to Richard Andrew.
Hello.
Brother of former England fly half and infamous mouse-faced tit Rob. Richard enjoyed a career being very popular at his local club, not throwing anyone under the bus in any kind of review. Didn't do any political jostling in sporting bodies and has not been ever known to talk shit about Epi Tione. As a result, he's a middle-ranking planning officer in Surrey Council and isn't in some high-ranking job at Sussex Cricket or whatever the fuck he is now, Rob Andrew. Is he back at the RFU? I don't know.
No, I think he's got some... He continues to fail upwards.
Beautiful.
Let's check.
So anyway, while you're doing that, thank you, Richard,
yes,
for your VIP contribution.
Chief and Executive of Sussex.
There you go. Yeah. See, I knew he was at Sussex Cricket.
Honestly.
Played for Cambridge at cricket, didn't he? You must be fuming at Richard. Richard, you must be fuming that you get no, you know, you're a person too, not just him. And thank you very much for your VIP. People in the non-VIP new this week, Lewis Grice. Thank you to Hello. Lewis. Thank you to Richard. Thank you to all of you I've read out. The year of respect will continue next week. I'm sure all of you are still trying to calculate when's my name being read out. So, you know, that's a new bit of excitement.
It is. It keeps people on their toes, let's face it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Shall we begin, Josh? Shall we begween the begween, as we always do, with player spotted?
Absolutely, we should.
Lloyd Maliphant, Patreon.
Hell of a name.
Brilliant name.
Hell of a name.
Brilliant name, for no doubt, a brilliant man. He says, hello, both. I've got a recent player spotted for you. Nice. I was in Amsterdam last weekend, says Lloyd, when wandering around the central square, I walked past England international Tom Curry. He was close to, but heading away from, the red light district and was also with his partner. So I don't think there was anything particularly scandalous going on.
Shame.
He said, Lloyd finishes with, if you prefer this story to be more mundane, it could have been Ben Curry.
I mean, that does instantly make any story more mundane.
Somehow it instantly makes it more mundane. It was probably Ben. Oh, boring. Don't want to know. Yeah.
Remember when they sort of they tried the sort of, what if we just pick Ben Curry and put him at Tom Curry's position for England and see if that works thing? And it fucking didn't.
It didn't. No.
No. No. Bless him.
It's like Tom Curry off Wish. Yeah, so there you go. I was in Amsterdam last year.
But, you know, Ben Curry's still got a functioning hip, so who's had the last laugh there?
Who's had the last laugh, indeed. I was in Amsterdam 3 years ago, wasn't I? A week or so. I walked through. I had to go through. Oh, typical. Oh, yeah, sure you did, Lee. I had to, the straightest line to my hotel, which is, like, passed out of the town in the kind of museum district, was to go through the red light district on a Monday afternoon.
Yeah, I did that on a Sunday. We did that on a Sunday.
Let me tell you, that is some depressing shit right there.
Hamburg, I should say. Yeah. We worked through Hamburg. We were like, we were trying to find a pub that was showing the early Saturday morning kickoff, or the early Sunday afternoon Premier League kickoff in Hamburg. And the quickest route from our hotel was directly through Hamburg's sort of walled off red light district. And I'll tell you, at sort of 11:45 on a Sunday, it's not a very exciting
Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. whatever it was that I got there. it's just like grim. Those girls clearly don't look like they're having a nice time. And everything just stinks of weed. And people are like more than about in anoraks.
It's just sort of like the clientele for this time of day is really fucking human effluent. You know, it is
grim.
The very Anyway,
Lloyd, thank you very much for that submission. And I hope Tom is recovering. Although he wants to stay off that hip rather than wandering around Amsterdam on them cobbled streets and across them awkward bridges over canals and shit.
So he's going on a hire a bike.
Yes, indeedy. Thank you very much. If you've got a player spotted, you can send it in. If you're a patron, you can use the patron messaging service, of course. But to do that, you'd have to go to patreon.com/blood and mud to become a member. And if not, you can do @bloodandmud on the Twitter X-y thing, or lee@bloodandmud.com on the email either. Mm. Oh, there's Lloyd. You're very welcome, he said. Thank you, Lloyd. Thank you again. So, shall we do some news, Josh?
Yeah.
Do you want to kick me off?
Yeah, France have called up Antoine Frisch.
Do I understand what a project player means? Have they read the whole document?
But also, he was always Irish qualified, and he's English qualified as well.
All right, okay.
Yeah, he's always qualified. They always knew.
My point's still the same, though. What, you know?
Yeah, it's like you don't have exclusive rights to someone just because he happens to play in Ireland. I know that's how it is.
Did anybody ask him?
Well, apparently at a Q&A for Munster supporters like 2 weeks ago, he said he wanted to play for Ireland. And obviously ultimately, he's not getting anywhere near the fucking Ireland team at the moment, despite playing very well for the last 2 years for Munster. You know, he is not unseating the sort of foursome of centres that Ireland have. You know, Andy Farrell doesn't like talking about new players at the best of times. But when you've got, you know, Bundiaki, Robbie Henshaw, Gary Ringrose and Stuart McCloskey, you know, he is literally there. Those four centres, providing they're fit, are going to get picked for Ireland for the next.
Despite having an aggregate age of 477 years.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like, you know, Bundy will probably slide into the sort of bench option as the closer we get to the World Cup. But it's, yeah, he's. And I think Andy Farrell pretty much said the same today. It was like, basically, we've got a really good group of centres here. And, you know, Antoine Frisch is basically probably like the sixth or seventh. You know, he doesn't even play for Leinster. He's definitely like the sixth or seventh choice centre for Ireland,
I mean,
at the moment.
There's at least 3 19-year-olds from Leinster who'll be getting in this Ireland squad before you, Antoine.
Yeah, exactly. It's the four in the Ireland squad and then whoever happens to be playing 12 and 13 for Leinster during the international window. And then maybe Antoine Frisch, if he's lucky. Meanwhile, you know, France are, you know, not overly blessed with centres who can bosh. And, you know, say what you like about Frisch, he boshes. He doesn't do anything else, but he boshes very well. So, yeah, I get it. He played for the Emerging Ireland squad, of course, that played that went to South Africa last, or the autumn before last. So I can understand why people in Munster and Ireland are a little bit like, what the fuck? But also, like, he played for the French Barbarians in the summer, or he was going to play for them, but withdrew. So it's like, the dude has been definitively keeping his options open. And, you know, he probably won't even get on the pitch, but he might get a cap in the next week if he's very lucky. Who knows?
So,
and if not, he's still been old and, you know, have a week of actually being a full on senior international camp, which is more than he's going to get on Ireland anytime soon. So,
Johnny Ball says Farrell's only just considered having McCloskey about. Having another one added to the mix would send him over the top. Maybe that's what the argument. That's what Borthwick suggested at half time, which caused the argument.
Yeah, maybe Borthwick was like, you know, Andy, if you actually gave some young players a chance, you might have been able to not have to do a 6-2 split that was so unsatisfactory.
I reckon they were arguing about whether you should use find and replace manually or write a macro, whether it's worth doing. I reckon that's what it was about. Borthwick's got that energy.
I reckon Borthwick's a macro guy. And fouls. Oh, you can never be sure that it's changing everything correctly.
Yeah,
you got to check it yourself.
You can just use find and replace. Find and replace is fine. You should use a macro. A macro, I think.
It removes at least 6 keystrokes from the equation.
You have to do a bit of work at the beginning, but by the end, it sorts it out. It's more efficient that way.
And to be fair to both, as he is right. But, you know, yeah. I'd never say that to his face.
So that's the news on that score. Speaking of people of controversial nationality, if that is such a thing.
Yes.
Emmanuel Faye-Wubosu has self-diagnosed himself with concussion and won't be available for the game. The final game of the
such season. A positive thing for the sport, this is, by the way. I mean, it doesn't say a lot about England's medical staff, but it does, you know, the fact that he self-reported concussion symptoms after the game. A, most players would probably just try to hide that, especially players with one cap who were, or two caps rather, one start, who was, you know, a week away from playing away in France for your second cap. Most players have just kept shut about that, but he clearly has a good head on his shoulders. He's clearly thinking about the bigger picture of his long-term health and having a brain that can be a fucking doctor when he's finished. And so, yeah, I hope we see a lot more of this. I doubt we will, because I feel like he's probably quite a unique and special case in that regard, but it would be nice if his example was followed by more players, for sure.
Or, and this is the theory, he's playing the incredibly long shithouse game on England, is what I reckon. He's got two caps.
Well, he's got three. He's going to sort of report concussion symptoms for the next 3 years.
Can't play this last game. Sorry. Yeah. Summer, exams. And I've got to do my placement catch-up. Yeah, not available to tour. Autumn. Yeah. Sorry, I'm on a really important place. This will be it then. And then 6 months before the next World Cup, out he walks at a press conference in a red shirt. I am telling you, the long shithouse is on.
Funny. If that happens, I would probably laugh for the entire 2027-2031 World Cup cycle. I would just keep laughing.
Patreon episodes of Josh laughing for 20 minutes will be available during that time. No,
Johnny Ball asks, and I think this is a very, very fair question. Would England have ignored him if he wasn't a medical student? Some lad with a BTEC in tourism isn't getting out of playing. You're entirely correct. Like, if he was doing a humanities degree and he had some, they would just go, get the fuck. But because people think that, you know, you've got to, because of Jamie Roberts and other famous rugby medics, everybody just goes, oh, well, he's got his medical exams. You can't fucking miss those.
Yes,
Dav Jenkins is technically in university still. Like, what exams has he? So is Chris Chinza. What exams have they missed over the last couple of years?
I mean, my daughter's doing a nursing degree.
Mm.
And she spends half a year in placement. I genuinely don't know how he's doing it, but I'm assuming they must be able to work around it, obviously, or delay it.
Yeah, I think what happened with Jamie Roberts was that
he never bothered to qualify.
Well, yeah, I think he did. He actually did qualify in the end, but he's never actually practiced, which is probably the most lucrative way to be a doctor. Really, is get yourself a medical degree and then start some sort of fancy damn company. I think he did the sort of academic stuff, and then in off season when other players were going on holidays, he'd be doing sort of like bits and bobs of placement, which feels like a very long way to do it, but that's why it took him about 9 years to do it.
Kerry Jones says JPR famously went on two Lions tours while doing a medical degree. Yeah, but you got to remember, Kerry, back then, just some bloke who was really into the rugby at the medical board just signed him off after he like showed he could do a bandage on somebody.
And also, JPR was available like Monday to Friday. It was in those days. It's like,
or he just watched the medical board threaten to chin them all, and they all just signed him off. Yeah. Right, so that's that
plus
news.
He was a surgeon, man. They're butchers. They're not doing the fancy stuff. They're just, you know, chopping people's legs off and stuff.
I'm rewatching ER. That's how shit my telly options are right now.
Wow.
Well, my wife's rewatching ER, and I there's nothing else I want to kind of watch so desperately between us that I'm willing to.
I feel you.
I'm about to stay. Sorry about that, everybody. Got a bit of a cold. And I'm once again struck a bit like with dentists. I won't talk about dentists. I know some people got some fear on here, as we found out last time. But how boring a surgeon's job must be. Because if you're just like doing appendices the whole time or whatever, it must. I mean, obviously, it's dangerous stuff and it's skilled, but wow.
It's incredibly skillful, but I would also imagine incredibly mundane. Like, if you're doing like a knee surgeon or something, you know, or if you're replacing hips or you're replacing knees or you're whatever, like literally you cut the leg open, you hack them both, you know, you cut off the bits that need to be cut off, put the new bit in, sew them back up, done.
Simple as that. See, that's how
you can be really fucking good at that, but like pretty much every knee is broadly the same.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, JPR was an orthopedic surgeon. I'm not being funny. Yeah. That's like doing DIY.
Yeah. There's drills and shit. But like, yeah, it's not like doing like heart surgery or brain surgery where it's like, you know, it is all a bit, you know, that is wizardry shit. But like orthopedic surgery, fucking forget about it.
Anyway, should we go on with more news? I've got some.
Any decent joiner.
As predicted, happily
be an orthopedic surgeon. Continue.
As predicted,
the most untrue thing I've ever said. continue.
As predicted, Ben Gollings has been fired into the sea by the people in charge of Fiji 7.
There was an energy around everything that happened last week that led you to suspect that would not last long.
Yeah.
I mean, when they're demanding you get sacked in Parliament, it's not going to last long.
And he weren't in the USA, and he was like, yeah, you're sacked. Make your own way home.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Circle in the South is, you know, obviously the first, the gold medal winning captain in 2016, was it? He's basically got a job on to turn Fiji into a gold medal winning team for the third time on the bounce. And yeah, it will be interesting to see how, because whatever you say about Ben Ryan, right? Ben Ryan as well. Like Ben Ryan winning and Fiji winning that gold in 2016. You know, that was the result of Ben Ryan basically kind of planning every single thing about that Fiji Sevens team for 4 years, so that they would peak at the Olympics. And you sort of felt like, you know, Baber and Burnell did that again in 2021 or whatever it was, the last Olympics, I've forgotten. So can they? I mean, obviously Fiji are the most, you know, it's they require the least coaching, surely, of any team to play rugby sevens.
You'd think so, wouldn't
and,
you?
And yet, you know, there is an Olympics in like 5 months' time. So it will be interesting to see how that whole sketch shakes out. I kind of want France to win it, just because I want Antoine Dupont to be happy for once in 2023. You know,
I mean, he made his sevens debut, Dupont, last week, didn't he?
Yeah,
well, a week before last. There was like only two games of the Six Nations left. Surely they could have given me like another fortnight before he joined up with them.
I know, he just wanted France to feel the hurt of not having him in the full effect. But now he's fucked himself because, you know, Noel Garrick is the new hotness. And, you know, what do you do?
More on that later.
Quite.
Any more news?
Speaking of people having horrendous knee surgery, Mark Atkinson has announced his retirement following a serious knee injury, poor fucker. We will always have his month as the future of the England 12 shirt.
At the age of 31, yeah.
Bless him. A really nice good player in his day.
It is nice, a nice tidy player. Nice
classy player. And genuinely, in that one game he had for England, the 12 or whatever it was, looked very good.
He's all right, yeah. Yeah. And now now his legs bend the wrong way, poor bugger.
Yeah, which, you know, is never easy. But yeah, good luck to him in his retirement, whatever he's doing.
Any more news?
Razzie Rasmus says that Sia Khaleesi might not be the Springbok captain anymore, which seems fucking mental to me, but okay.
It's Razzie, though, isn't it?
He
says there's no guarantee, hasn't he? He said, basically.
Yeah, he's saying that he'd like, he'd prefer the South Africa captain to be based in South Africa, which I get, but also, is Sia fucking Khaleesi, man? Stop fucking with people. If he wants to carry on playing, he's captain until he stops playing.
Well, if England have got five captains, Razzie wants nine. That's what the problem is. Do you know what I mean? There's no way he's been out captained by the likes of England. So,
no, indeed, that is true. Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, and I was saying Ike Lever is apparently going to sail to replace.
Oh, yeah, I saw that just before we came out.
The most dramatic fucking upgrade in pure just sexiness
you've ever seen. All of a sudden, that stadium now becomes the sexiest place in England.
I was going to say, it's done a huge amount of job on its own of making Sale likeable in a way that Alex Sanderson or Steve Diamond could never have imagined.
Yes.
Just get the loveliest, sexiest man on the planet. It's time for you. Done.
Done. No more news.
No more news. It's a lot of, you know, the news. You all know what the news is, especially this week of all weeks, is just constant ex-England player soundbite news, and nobody needs that shit.
Yes, there was a brilliant one from Dawson. I saw like a clip of what he was saying. I can't remember what it was now. I can't find it. I hope it's been hidden from me forever, quite honestly. But anyway, so... It's now time to talk about the weekend and what a weekend it was. But before we get into that, we've got to say goodbye to the people who don't go to patreon.com/bloodandmud to give their support. Sorry, but you know what to do. Get yourself to that web address and, you know, hand over a very, very small amount of money.
Tiny, really.
And you can come in, really. It's like, you know, the cheapest club entry you're probably ever having to part with at this time of the year.
Yeah.
Right. See ya. Bye.
Bye.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Right, that's surely got to be the end of the weekend. And we head into Rob's the magnificent... Lost. I can't even be bothered to get my brain to think about the permutations of Super Saturday coming up, but it'll be interesting. So strap yourselves in.
Yeah, everybody can win except Italy and Wales, basically. But only Ireland are going to the end.
Oof, at that point, we're going to have to welcome back the people who don't pay. And you've missed, what, an hour and 20 minutes of us rattling on? About the weekend.
Absolutely rock solid, pure
quality shit.
Good shit.
Speaking of shit, let's do the shit good to finish quickly because we're running quite long. Well, have you got any shit?
Yeah. Conor Murray, man.
So bad. An
inexplicable choice at the World Cup, an even more inexplicable choice in 2024, a match losing choice on the weekend. Just terrible.
Yeah, surely this is going to be it now. To be honest, Farrell's got a challenge here because he has got this how you manage your legacy issue here now. Because he's going to have to do this more and more often, cut people that he's absolutely relied on. And there's no shame in loyalty, is there? But there is when it gets to a point where people play like that and you've got somebody who's ready to go. So, but how they transition people who were well into their 30s in the midfield, Peter Omani, you know, Murray, etc., is going to be a tester.
Well, this is the thing. Is like, basically, I was talking to a friend of the pub, Trisha Vieira, about this after the Ireland game, because I was basically, you know, she as a Munster fan, I was just like, how is this still a thing? He can't even start ahead of, you know, he's not even starting for Munster. Why is he still on the bench?
No, and I've seen him. I've seen at least two games and come off the bench for Munster and do exactly what he did on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's not like but he hasn't apparently been
he's got he's apparently got another year on his contract, so the likelihood is that he's and basically he's currently on an Irish central contract, which because there's so few of those Irish central contracts doled out, basically you bloody have to pick someone if they're on a central contract,
right?
So that is kind of the vibe, but he's coming off his central contract next season. But that just means that Ireland are going to Munster are going to have to pay for him to be not starting for them either.
Moving on to shit. Joe Taran getting touched. His shit is Sir Clive going full Monty Burns with his column. Yes, I told him to do that. Yes, like Monty Burns says in the baseball. Yeah, ridiculous. Yeah. John Horan says, shit is seemingly everyone in the Irish rugby media going out of their way to give England something to pin up on the dressing room wall. Not sure there was any space left on it by the end of the week. I'm looking at you, Heaslip, again.
It wasn't just the Irish media, to be fair.
It wasn't. Irish rugby getting a kick up the arse. Maybe isn't the worst thing in the world, though, says John. Yeah, perhaps. Graham Gulvin says, shit are the knives out for Townsend Brigade. Ooh, sorry. Whatever. I'm not saying we've got knives. Anyway, whatever's wrong with Scotland... says Graham.
It is him.
I don't think it's the coaching. The reason I say this is because when Scotland are on song, they generally look like the best team in the Six Nations. I'd have a lot more time for the Sat Townsend Brigade if they were mentioning credible alternatives. There is that. There is a value over replacement issue.
There isn't an alternative, but the fact of the matter is he's not doing a very good job.
It doesn't change the fact as far as Josh is concerned, Graham. So there you go. Harley Worthy, who's in the comments as well, hello, says shit is the last half hour of Wales versus France. Well, he did say, yes, good is the starting pairing for Wales in centres. Yeah, I think we agreed with that, didn't we? Pete Elder says, shit is Scotland in second halves. Yes, also shit for us, Lee, is at both our rugby league sides throwing away good leads to lose us with us in attendance. Oh, honest to God. I went to Lee on Friday. It was fucking freezing. We were 16-0 up at half-time and we lost 22-16.
It's just not fun, is it?
And I had to stand and watch fucking Leeds fans drink that in. So, oh,
absolutely sickening.
Any more shit from you?
Nah.
Good. I've got good. Nolan Le Garrick's reverse pass.
I mean, it was absolutely filthy.
I literally fucking yelped in delight when I saw it happen.
I dearly wanted it to get intercepted because that's what should happen when you try that.
See, I didn't know because and the commentators go, oh, he had no idea where that was going. You know what? He did. He threw it perfectly along his own bat line. He didn't know exactly who it was going to, but he knew where it was going.
He trusted that somebody was going to be there.
And why? Why was it even a thing to do? I fucking love it, man. I absolutely love it. What else have you got? Anything?
No, there's nothing good about this. Let's face it.
I've got the Pink Panther theme on TMO checks.
Yes.
More of this type of thing, I say.
Yeah.
More 70s themes, I say. Van der Valk or something when
Duane Van der Merwe comes on.
Wee. David Lawrence gets in touch. He says, good is that Julian Surveyor has broken the record for the most tries scored in Super Rugby.
Isn't he playing for Moana now?
Yeah, I think so. I can't remember. I increasingly pay less attention to Super Rugby than I used to. It's just a fact.
Me too. It's just not a very good tournament anymore. Although, you know, looking at the results this season, the Australian teams are actually giving a good account of themselves, although I don't know if that's just because all of the Kiwi teams have been hollowed out in classic post-World Cup style.
David says that shit or good, depending on who you support, is that the Crusaders are 0-3 for the first time since 1996.
Maybe Scott Robertson is quite a good coach.
Yeah, all dynasties come to an end eventually. Jack Hurst said, good, Ollie Lawrence, completely unnecessary one-handed dot down. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Time for that.
Big fan of that, yeah.
Especially because he'd like unnecessarily run an inch away from the touchline as well. It was like perfect. Mm. That also, Brooke says that good is French fans at the stadium Sunday made it sound like a 50-50 split. Fair play. And Ten Epp said the same. French fans on Saturday was good. Great singing, great drinkers, great costumes. It was like a test match at Headingley. Magnanimous in victory. Great fun. Top on tour vibes all round. Yeah, good stuff.
Mm.
Anne Harris says good is all three games this weekend. Yep. Rich Harley says good is every result this weekend was the funniest possible outcome from an English perspective, and I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, he's not smiling. If you're not watching the live, he's not smiling. Rich Harley, oh, we've done that one.
Your time will come. And we will offer you no sympathy.
Tom George says good is Italy, England and France making next Saturday the most eagerly awaited round of the Six Nations games. For ages, yes.
Yes, indeed.
And that brings us to the end of this far too long episode of this podcast once
Big
again.
Time. Way too long.
Thank you, everybody. See you next week for the final installation of this, the oldest tournament in the world. And we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.